And we are back, and we are the Run Duo. I am Tommy.
What's up? It's India.
Hey, India. How's it going?
Going good.
Good. I saw you out there doing your thing at the public
camp. Doing my thing.
Coming off of
the high of a weekend. Oh my gosh, this weekend was such a high. So I emceed Friday, Saturday, and I volunteered Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So yeah, you did your thing this weekend. I was surprised that I wasn't expecting the expo to be outside, but I liked the way they had it set up. It was nice, yeah. Open air kind of area. Yeah. It was good weather, which was nice. I really liked it out there.
Yeah, I think when they said Home Depot backyard, I knew it was going to be outside. I don't think I expected, well, I knew because I was a part of what they needed me to do production. So I knew what mm-hmm. it was going to be like, but that they were going to have tents set up. But I think a lot of people were surprised of the tents and stuff that were set up there. So yeah, it was a great weekend. On Friday, I had the opportunity to, I am blanking on what I did this weekend. That's so bad. So I had opportunity of interviewing people. So what I did was they had informational sessions on Saturday and Sunday, which was basically entertainment for those that came to the expo that were interested in what we were talking about. So we did a Coach Bob, which a lot of people know as Coach Bob. He did informational session about the course, which was really good. Like being able to discuss, he broke it all the way down, Tommy. Like he broke down where the hills was going to be, where you want to save some time in the tank, where there may have been a pothole in the road that they put a cone, where there may have been like, he literally broke it all the way down. You know, he explained the differences between the last year's race to this year's race, because there were some changes due to construction and because the race is now in Home Depot backyard instead of Centennial. So there were definitely some adjustments to the race. He broke down the marathon and the half marathon course. So that was really good. And he did a little bit of the 5K on Friday. So Friday mm-hmm. I introduced him. He was able to do that. And then of course I talked to Ronell Blackman, which a lot of people know him as the race announcer for Atlanta Track Club. So talked about him and his journey mm-hmm. because a lot of people didn't know that he didn't run. He's been an MC for races for long, but he wasn't a runner until mm-hmm. the last year and a half, 2 years. So we definitely dove into that. And then I talked to the physical therapist that is the Atlanta Track Club Elite's physical therapist. And her name is Dr. Kate Edwards. And I was able mm-hmm. to talk to her about injury prevention and all of that. And then I had on Friday, I also was able to talk to 4 of the Atlanta Track Club Elite runners. So that was good. So Olivia Baker, Shane, Luch, which is Luciano, and then Presley is who I was able to talk to. So that was Friday. So that was a really good day for me.
Sounds like it. I mean, it was the whole weekend, I'm sure, was amazing. So you said you volunteered on Sunday?
Mm-hmm. So okay. I volunteered at the half marathon exchange zone, which is also the finish line. So for this year is the first year that they ever did it, but for that they did a marathon relay. So you could do the front end of the half marathon or the back end of the half marathon. And so basically the first person took off like a regular race, finished at the regular finish line, and then they traded off it was like a little belt that they had traded mm-hmm. off their timing belt to the next person that did the other half. So I was at the finish line, basically catching the people that had relay on their bib and making sure they went to the right place to get to their exchange, to the next person. So that's basically what I was. So I was right there at the finish seeing everybody come in. So I was able to see like the first finishers of the half marathon and marathon or two.
That's great. I heard it was about 10,000 people who participated.
Between spectators, all that, I think they said 10,000. It was a good race. It was a mm-hmm. good race. Weather was good. It was super cold in the morning. It was in the 30s in the morning, so everybody was layered up. But then it ended up getting really warm really quick. It ended up getting to like 60 degrees. So
no, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so that was a good time. Saturday, had fun being on the mic again, interviewed 4 different groups of people on Saturday. So it was a good time for me. It was a action-packed weekend and just really excited that Atlanta Track Club allowed me the opportunity to to show my skills, show my talents on the mic. Well, they know who I am, obviously, love, yeah, but yeah.
I know how much you love doing that kind of thing, so I'm glad they did, you know, you got to do that this weekend and be a, mm-hmm. I mean, basically a part of the biggest race event in Atlanta, besides maybe Peachtree, I guess, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a blessing to be able to be a part of it. And it was good. And I'm just looking forward to many more opportunities. So it was a good time.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I slept all day Sunday, but it was a good time. For volunteering, I was out. I took a long nap. And then Braxton was like, are you going to be able to sleep tonight? I was like, oh, absolutely. I'm about to take this nap. I'm going to eat and I'm going to go back to bed. Like, I was exhausted. But it was definitely, like they said, kind of basically in my eyes, 3 days worth of being on the mic and entertaining and doing all that. And then also just socializing. I don't know if people realize how much socializing is taxing, being out and being social for hours.
I bet. I got to see, me and Heather got to see you on
Saturday.
Yeah, because we took Trey
after the 5K. Yeah.
Heather did the 5K and Trey ran his dash. And then we went to IHOP.
Oh, good. How was it? How was Trey's race? I didn't get to see his race. I think I was setting up the mic system.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, you know, he loves running, so it is what it is. That's why, you know, I take the time to bring him out to those things. Anytime that, you know, Atlanta Track Club has a dash where he can get a medal to add to his rack, you know, I'm gonna bring him out and let him get it done. Now Atlanta's had their big race weekend. There's gonna be another big race weekend this coming weekend across the water, Pacific Ocean. Yeah. In Tokyo. So,
yes.
And I think that somebody we know is running. I think is a famous guy.
I think so.
Yeah. Some famous guy that's really fast. He gonna run, you know.
He's gonna put in his work.
So I'm excited to see that. I don't know if it's gonna be, I don't think we're gonna be able to see it live. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what channel it's gonna be on, but I know ever since the Olympic channel kind of went away, it's been hard to find some of these world majors. On TV.
I feel like they really need to do better with that. Like, I get so annoyed when we can't watch these major races. And I understand
it's all about the money
and all of that. But it's like, child, like these major races, like I'm not asking for you to put the local races on TV, but I feel like these major world marathons, it's like, put them on TV for everybody to be able to see it and not a subscription and all that stuff that you got to do. So, but yeah, I'm definitely,
NFL has some subscriptions now. So, I mean, you can't even, Major League Soccer, you got to have Apple TV to see the game. I mean, that's just the way of the world nowadays. We need to cut that cord and just start doing apps, I guess, you know, no more cable and just start doing the apps.
We don't have cable. We just have a lot of apps that can pull a lot of things. So we'll see. I'll definitely be looking into that because I do want to see the race, and I do want to see what he can put forward. And our guest that we have coming on gave a prediction of what he thinks that Meb could do. What Kipchoge could do this weekend. So we'll see if they're able to execute.
Exactly. I mean, it's a flat course. I don't know what kind of shape Kipchoge's in. Maybe he might hold back a little bit because he's got the Olympics coming up. But you know, who knows what you might see. You know, Kipchoge. It's been a minute since we've seen him run, so who knows what he might have in the tank.
Yes, definitely. And I just slipped up and said Meb because Meb is actually running Boston. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. He'll be running. It'll be his celebration of 10 years since he won Boston. So he will be in Boston in April. So definitely looking forward to seeing him there.
Yes, most definitely.
It's so funny to see him. It's like he's retired, but he's not. But he's still like...
I mean, people gravitate to him, you know.
He's so likable.
Yeah, exactly. People still want to be around him. And, you know, that's a great thing. He's an ambassador for running in America.
He really is. And just continues. I love to see him even doing commentating. Like when we saw him at the trials, he was there. It was good, really good to see that. So we will be seeing him again, him doing his running again soon. So that's exciting also. So.
Most definitely. Are we, did you have anything else? Are we ready to bring on All right. Well, we got a great guest, Nathan Martin, coming on to talk about his top 10 finish in the recent Olympic marathon trials down in Orlando, Florida.
Yes.
And we are back, and the Run Duo is so privileged today to have Mr. Nathan Martin, the fastest American, African-American born marathoner on our show. We've had you before, but
yes,
man, let me tell
welcome
you something.
Welcome back, Nathan.
I know you had fans because I saw all the posts of people photographing you while you're running down there in Orlando. But when you're in Atlanta, you had two huge fans. Like, yes. Look at this boy go.
Yes. We were
yes. Welcome to the show, man. Oh,
yes.
Now, for people who don't know who you are, introduce yourself. Tell a little bit about yourself, how you got into running, and then we'll get into your experience down in Orlando at the Olympic marathon trials.
Yeah. So I'm Nathan Martin. I'm 34. Big fan of sushi, I guess. Yeah. Anyways, get into running because that's what you were guys saying. Explain my origin story. Bit by a spider or something, but yeah, no. So started running in middle school. I think it was like sixth grade. We had this thing called a mile and a third, and really wanted to do well at it. And first time around was pretty rough. I think I was 20th or 30th in gym class, but kind of just never gave up and really wanted to do well. And, next year did a lot better, first or second. Then people were saying, hey, you should run. And I was pretty hesitant. But by eighth grade year, just hearing all the people saying, hey, you're really good, you should try it. Went out for the team, did extremely well. And now I'm here talking to you guys. So,
yes. And we had the privilege of speaking to Nathan on episode 62 back in 2020 before he came to Atlanta. Or was it after you came to Atlanta?
I think it was after you came to Atlanta.
We found out about you.
Yeah, we found out about him at the trial.
We're like, wait a minute. We need him on the podcast. And so, if you want to hear more details about Nathan and kind of hearing where he was back in 2020, because it's obviously been 4 years, definitely go check out episode 62.
Exactly. Now, Nathan, like we talked a little bit before we started recording, you're a three-time Olympic marathon trials qualifier, correct?
Yeah. That is correct, yeah.
Has there been a progression for you, like going from, I guess, the first time in Los Angeles, Atlanta, Orlando? Has there been a I'm trying to put in the right word. Like, have you thought about it seriously? Like, okay, I'm going to keep trying to make these trials until I get to the Olympics. Has that been in your mind the whole time and coached yourself to that goal?
Yeah, no, 100%. The first time around was just experience. It's always that thing. Well, I show up, so I have some kind of chance. But definitely knew that there are a lot more faster guys than what I was running, but I just wanted to mix it up with them, just see what the atmosphere is like and just use whatever knowledge I gained to get ready for the next time. And then obviously, things changed drastically from 2016 trials to 2020 trials as far as like my performances in between. The actual trials, not as good, but just what we thought we could do, the times I was hitting, all that kind of stuff, it kind of completely shifted my focus going into Atlanta. And it was like, hey, we actually do have a shot. Ended up kind of pushing a little bit too much for that goal and kind of doing workouts and training that was probably a little bit above my fitness level and where I was at. And so didn't come together as much as I'd like, but ended up, still getting to the trials, believing I had a shot way more than I did in 2016. And then kind of came off of that and said, hey, you know what? I'm still ready to go. I'm still ready to fight. And so another, 4 year process of figuring that out. And kind of just did everything I could to kind of go for it this time around. Was in Flagstaff training with pros and all that kind of stuff for a couple months and just trying to give myself the best chance possible. Obviously ended up seventh, but gave everything I had and truly believe that Depending on how the day shook out, I could have definitely finished in the top three.
Oh, of course. I want you to celebrate that seventh. Exactly. Listen, the way the way that I was yelling at my TV screen, my husband was like, "Who are you yelling at?" I was like, "It's Nathan." He doesn't pay attention to running. But I literally was screaming because you got a good amount, I felt a good amount of TV, like you were in shock, like majority of the time. And that's because you were in the lead pack. Like you were up there. So I was very excited to see you. And I know that, you know, for you as a runner and knowing what you wanted your outcome to be, you may not feel like seventh is what you wanted to go home with for the day, but I want to say kudos to you and congratulations because that is amazing.
Thank you. No, honestly, you know, it's definitely one of those bittersweet things. But I understand that everybody's talented, everybody's fighting for it. So, you know, I came up short, but I came up short with some of the best runners in the country. So
Most definitely. You were up there with them, including yourself. And you have your name up there with some of the best runners. Like your name is included in that.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, let me add now before we get to the because I want to talk about the trials, of course. Fastest U.S. born African-American marathoner. Remind me what marathon was it that you ran that you hit that time?
So it was the Marathon Project, which I'm pretty sure was in 2021. I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that. Maybe 2020, but that's pretty bad. Don't I can remember like rough names of things, but once we get down to the details, I'm like, ooh, not sure if that's what it was, but. The Marathon Project. So
I gotcha. Let me ask you something. So of course it's a great achievement, but what does that mean to you? Fastest U.S. born African-American marathon. What does that mean to you when people say that to you?
Yeah. And so like, I get asked that a lot. And people just want to get my, like how I feel about it and all that kind of stuff. And the biggest thing to me, is the title allows me to just reach out to people, so they can see what I'm doing. You know, ultimately, whoever that is, but obviously, it pulls a lot more to the Black community, and just getting people to say, hey, you know what, if that guy can accomplish that, then so can I. Right. So I guess it's just a symbol of what you can achieve if you push hard and work hard and, hopefully I'm doing a good job of representing the record well and getting people to believe in what they can achieve. But that's kind of what it kind of means to me. Yeah,
I got
Well, I will say you are doing the record well, for sure. You are doing the record well. And I think as we continue to give you the platform so that more people can see you, right? Like, because we have to understand that when it comes to the media, when it comes to who gets interviewed and all that stuff, we have to do our part to make sure that people, you're being seen, you're doing the work, you're putting in the physical work. And I definitely think you're inspiring people, but that's one of the reasons why we have you here is because we need to continue to give you the platform so that people can see the greatness that you're doing.
Oh, 100%. And obviously you guys always do an amazing job. So I'm definitely glad that you're giving me a shot to speak again. Hopefully, I have some amazing words. So
you're doing well. We love to have you on.
So let's get into this past trials, going to Orlando. Just kind of talk to us about your experience from, you know, getting to Orlando. What was it like? What was the course like? The weather that day? Because I know there's a little controversy about the start times and things like that. Kind of talk to us a little bit about that.
So I was coming from Flagstaff, which was a little bit colder. The elevation's crazy high, like it's base like 7,000 feet or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so just the initial things of getting to the area, one definitely was a little bit warmer. So that was initially nice until, you know, a few days in, I'm like, ooh, okay, it's kind of warm. But, you know, just coming from Flagstaff and going down in elevation, so to sea level, just felt like I had a lot of extra energy. You know, my breath felt a lot stronger. And obviously, you know, it's one of those things where if you're not sure about altitude and how it affects you, it's definitely something to kind of like think over. But I was just overall feeling strong, feeling ready to go. you know, getting into it, we kind of got there a couple days early. So it was just kind of me and my current team I'm training with, McCurdy trained. We were in a hotel for a couple of days just trying to figure out what the game plan was, where we're going to run, all that kind of stuff. And then Thursday is when we got into the actual the host hotel. And yeah, just right away, just the change in energy was kind of immediate, just because they were doing, and they did a fantastic job, honestly, just welcoming the athletes, just making you feel like, hey, is there anything we can get for you, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, from that part, you're starting to see, like, other athletes are getting ready for races. You're having all these organized meetings or getting to different lunches and all that kind of stuff. So it overall was amazing, but definitely felt the, you know, we're getting ready to do something type energy. So, yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely imagine that. Now, I know that when we first, when we interviewed you back in 2020, you were, I don't think you were with McCurdy Train at that time. How long have you been training with them?
At this point, I'd want to say like a little over a year, maybe a year, 2 months, something like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely familiar with their organization. So that's really good. Yeah. What do you think you did the most difference between, I guess, 2020 trials to this trials, besides changing, obviously, coaching, but what else do you feel like you did besides going up to Flagstaff, obviously, to do some elevation change and training with pros? But is there anything else that you feel like is a good standout that you did differently with your training?
Yeah.
We're not telling you secrets, you know. We don't want to want you to tell you secrets.
Yeah, that's hard to say. definitely. It's like one of those things where it's kind of like there's not like any kind of crazy secret sauce. You're generally doing the same thing. But, you know, I guess the 20, what really happened from, 2016, 2020 to 2020, 2024, is just, I had way more exposure on the elite level. So pro level. So a lot of my races were targeting bigger name races and trying to organize around that. And so it was more like, hey, now I'm officially a pro. How do I balance that with just deciding what's best for my body, what's best for my actual running career? So I think that was the biggest change. But training wise, up until, you know, the last 6 to 8 months with the just coaching shift, it was pretty similar. And it was just, yeah, just trying to work through to, hey, what's the next level? Let's just add in a little bit more tempo here, try and add in a little bit more mileage in these spots type thing.
Good. Now, I know that there was a lot of conversation, and I know Tommy alluded to this about the temperature start change, time. Right? Yeah. Well, the temperature change and the start time. So, of course, in Atlanta, it was windy as hell. It was super windy. It was cold. I remember, like, we had on a beanie and everything. Like, it was pretty chilly here in Atlanta in 2020. And then transitioned to, obviously, Florida. It was about, you know, around 50, 60 degrees start. And y'all starting, and of course y'all didn't start till like 10. So tell me about like how you feel like you adapted to that change, and how did it feel during race time? What do you really feel like you
was? Yeah, so I would say obviously Atlanta was great, but I would not call myself a hill runner.
Yes.
So probably was not the best setup for me personally. Obviously the wind and stuff, all that never helps. But yeah, just getting onto a flat course, I knew that I was definitely within my element, just with how I race and how I'm my most efficient, all that kind of stuff. The heat definitely was something that, you know, I wanted to be mindful of, especially since, you know, where, you know, unless you're in Orlando area for a while, most likely you're in a cold environment. So it was just making sure that, you know, I did what I could. So while I was in Flagstaff, we were going to the sauna like 3 or 4 times a week. And like, I'm not sure what saunas are supposed to be at, but whichever one we went to was constant. It was like 200 something degrees. I was like, wow. Oh my goodness. But yeah, just get my body ready. And I knew because I ran grandma's, what was that, 7-8 months ago, something like that. And that was a warmer marathon as well. But I was able to do extremely well at it, and even finish really strong. So I had confidence that it definitely was going to be something I can adapt to, and there wasn't going to be anything I was scared my body wouldn't be able to handle. So, yeah, I guess I felt ready. Yeah.
So, because you were saying earlier that when y'all got there, you were finding out where you're going to run. So where were you guys training? I'm from Orlando originally, so I'm just kind of interested. Where were you guys running before the trials? Like, where were you doing your shakeout runs? Where were you doing your practicing, I guess, before the trials? What part of town?
You're saying, like, while we were in Orlando?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, while you were
I mean, we weren't there a crazy amount of time before we went to the host hotel. So we were, like, maybe a mile away. So pretty much all the places we ran were the same places we ran for
in the same loop kind of area, Lake Eola, that kind of area. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Okay, that's nice. Now, talk about the actual race itself, your experience during the race. How did you feel, you know, cut it up into quarters, I guess, maybe. Like, how did you feel first quarter, you know? You know, how did it go for you?
Yeah, so just kind of initially starting off with the race, you know, I remember us having like a small like walk just to get to the starting line. And it's one of those things where you're like almost hurt it that way. So there's certain things you want to get in and do, but you're like, well, should I do this right now? Should I wait? All that kind of stuff. So it was like you felt pretty anxious just getting ready for everything because you want to make sure you get your proper warm up in and all that kind of stuff. But you also want to make sure you don't do anything wrong and miss a spot you're supposed to be. So, yeah, it was just prepping myself the best way I could. And, yeah, I mean, at some point, I guess the gun went off and it was pretty crazy. Like, you know, obviously everybody there wants to fight for a spot. But like you almost think like, OK, well, I'll see maybe 20-30 people around me, but it was like everybody that first mile was just like trying to be in the front. And it created this like mob scenario where you're like, the biggest thing you're trying to do is avoid like falling and tripping and all this and just like going with whatever the flow is. And so we had like luckily nothing happened to me, and I don't think anybody really fell or anything. But we had the aid station positioned in such a way that you saw it, at least the first one, you saw at 1.6 and you saw again at 2.2 based on how the loop started. And so they told us at the technical meeting that the first time we see it, it will be at 1.6. Don't take it. Take it at 2.2 or whatever the official numbers were. And so we get to it like the first time around and like half the people rush to their bottles. And I'm like freaking out because I'm like, what in the world are you doing? We're not supposed to take this right now. I mean, I guess you can, but it's like it caused like a lot of traffic and stuff. But luckily, you know, nothing bad happened from that and was able to kind of get through it. But that first little bit of the race was pretty relaxed. I wasn't trying to do anything crazy. The biggest thing I wanted to do is just make sure I was in like that top 20, maybe top 30 range, depending on how packed up it was. But, you know, I wasn't trying to make any moves or say, you know, do anything crazy. It was just like, hey, respond and be in a position to where you can respond. And so, yeah, it was pretty relaxed. Our first like 5 miles was 5:02. And I know when I say that's relaxed, probably to a lot of people, you're like, what in the world are you talking about?
That's your relaxed, and that's okay. That's my dying, and I don't think I can ever hit that, but that's your relaxed, and that's okay. It's all relative. We understand. It's all relative. We get it.
No, at that point, I'm like, wow, if we stay at this pace, then I'm going to be able to fight once the next half comes along. Because my coach was talking to me and he was like, hey, the race could go out fast. You might have to be prepped and ready to go as fast as low 104s through the half. And so, like, in my head, that first 5 miles, I'm like, ooh, well, that might not happen. We might break 105 at this point. And then all of a sudden, boom, the race kind of took off. Zach Panning kind of like surged, and then everything changed. And then we were flat out racing at that point. So I feel like that's like a quarter, but I can keep going or however you want to do.
Yeah,
so.
You're doing
fine.
That's
good. Yeah. That's good. That's good. So
yeah, I can, I'll just keep going. If you have a question, definitely you can interrupt me. So, at that point, the race just kind of took off, and if like looking back now, I know what my splits were, but I didn't know at that point, just cause even though we started surging, like I didn't feel bad or anything. I was just like, okay, well, we're definitely going at a faster pace, but it feels comfortable. It doesn't feel like there's any issues. Later on, I figure out that we're going like 440s and whatnot. But, getting through the half, like kind of in my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, we definitely picked it up. So maybe we're around 104.30, 104.40. And then I look at a time and we're like 104.10. And I'm like, how in the world do we get to the half this fast if we started off at like 502s? At that point I started getting a sense that, okay, we're definitely working. And I was getting a little bit tired. Like I felt like, right around 11, I feel like, oh man, okay, something's going on. I wouldn't say it freaked me out, but I knew at that point, I'm like, ooh, if this is a feeling I'm feeling right now, can I make it to 22? Can I even and finish at this effort? But right. It lasted for, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes. And then I kind of got my energy back and then like made sure I just stayed with the pack at that point. And yeah, I think I got through like 15 miles before I was like, okay, maybe I'm getting a little bit tired. And then at 17, I think one more surge was made. And I can't remember my splits, but I think I was around still 450 at that point. But I just could not stay with the pack at that point. And so it became like the survival mode to just stay as close as I could. And whoever's dropping off, just kind of stay with them. And it's kind of bittersweet at this point because you're kind of realizing like, oh, my goodness, my shot might be gone. I'm feeling really bad now. What's going to happen? All these kinds of things. But there are some amazing people in the crowd, especially all my friends who came to support me. And it was like, hey, you have to keep fighting. You never know. And I'm like, oh, you're 100% right. No, I definitely have to keep fighting. And got to like 19 and oh my goodness, things like shifted. I was like, wow, this is pain right here. And thinking to myself, I'm like, how in the world do I finish? Cause I can't even contemplate going another mile, let alone another 7.
right.
But yeah, so I started thinking back to just previous races and how I got through those. And I just told myself, hey, one mile at a time, one step at a time, and just keep fighting. And was fortunate enough to be able to do that and get to around 4 to go, 3 to go, somewhere around there, and was able to get a little bit of energy back. At that point, I think CJ Albertson started coming up on me, and I'm like, okay, if I can just fight for him or fight with him for any amount of time, that's going to wake me up and hopefully get me to the finish line. And was able to make it probably about a mile with him. He was cranking. Oh my goodness. Gosh, he definitely ran a smart race. He was like, you guys are going too fast. I'm going to lay back and pick off people. And yeah, definitely did that, but was able to kind of feed off of him. And just with that last two, it was, I definitely was in pain and hurting, but I knew I was super close to the finish. And I said, hey, you know what? You're still going to have a great day. You're still top 10, and that's something to be proud of. So just finish. And that last mile, oh my goodness. Yeah, that got to me.
that was good. Gut check.
Like, I think that's probably the only marathon mile I got to where I was like 200 meters from finishing and still thinking, no, this just needs to end right now.
He was like, listen.
God, y'all.
But oh yeah, so yeah, ended up finishing and finished at 2:11 flat, which even under conditions, how we went out was my second best time I've ever gotten. So
yes,
definitely was a good day for sure. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
That's what's up. I am so proud of you. That is amazing. And I think it's, you know, it's just a testament to the work that you put in, the mental work I'm sure that you put in, the physical work that you put in, along with everything else that you're doing in the community. It's just congratulations again. It's awesome.
And I love your story because I want people to hear that even the elites, I mean, you sound like, I mean, of course, I wasn't trying to win a marathon. I was just trying to maybe hit a time. Mm-hmm. But there's a point in the marathon where you go, I'm not going to hit that time. That time, that time's gone. I'm not going to make it, but I got to gut it out and finish this thing. And I like hearing elites have that same kind of, you know what, maybe I'm not going to get top three, maybe I'm not going to the Olympics, but I'm going to gut it out. I'm going to finish mile at a time. So
yeah, like congratulations, you have those, man. A, B, and C goals. And yeah, that's awesome. So what did you eat the morning before you went out for your run? Because I know the day probably was a little weird being that it was a later start to a race. Typically when there's later starts to the race, I know a lot of, sometimes people usually have like two breakfasts at that point. Cause if you're not going out until later, you have a breakfast, it digests, and then you eat a little bit more. What did you have the morning of?
Yeah, so I had oatmeal, which is just kind of my go-to thing. In fact, I've been eating oatmeal for breakfast, gosh, for the last like 3 months now, and it's definitely getting a little old, but
so just plain oatmeal, no fruit.
No,
just...
it definitely brown sugar in it.
Okay. Brown sugar. Okay. That's my favorite too. Brown sugar. Okay. Yeah,
plain oatmeal, there is no way I wouldn't have been able to do it. Also, my coach was like a tyrant, and he gave me this like 3 days before the race, he gave me this like whole roll of bagels. And he's like, yeah, you need to finish this before the race. I'm like, wow. On top of just normally eating.
Right. You're like, how?
I got through like 3/4 the bag or something like that.
Mm-hmm. But, they were just plain bagels, not like a raisin or nothing.
No, they were flat out plain bagels. I did have some jelly and stuff, but yeah, it still was not super tasty after like the third or fourth one. So,
right.
But yeah, just plain old oatmeal.
Okay. Now, what do you do for your running nutrition? Like during the race, what kind of nutrition are you using?
Yeah, so we were doing like a lot of like testing stuff. So back, I want to say probably the third week I was there, we went to go do like a sweat test, just to figure out how much we kind of sweat out per hour, pending the temperature. And we like, I feel bad because I'd give them a shout out if I could remember their names, but we went to some lab and tested with them, and they let us know what our sweat, like sweat concentration or salt concentration was. So through that, we started using this product called Precision, which is like this salt based, like, or sodium based, I say salt, but same difference, but sodium based product that just helps you keep your levels correct. And it honestly, like, I noticed it immediately in training. Just because like a lot of workouts, especially if it's a little bit warm and I'm really pushing myself, I'll kind of go to the well, and I'll be pretty far out of it sometimes, like not super coherent, all that kind of stuff. But as soon as I started taking the Precision stuff, I was I was way better coming off of workouts. Like I feel like I didn't tank as much, all that kind of stuff. And so we're like, oh, wow, this is definitely something we need to make sure we have for the marathon, especially since it's going to be warmer. You're going to be going through a lot of sodium, all that kind of stuff. And my coach is like, I give him a crazy amount of credit because that guy is like a nutrition guru. Precision was kind of like the liquid I would take, and then I would also take a goo as well. Okay. So that was kind of the I guess running formula. So
now so just confirm, Los Angeles, was that a loop trial as well, or was that a full like a point-to-point marathon or out and back marathon?
That was looped as well. I think it actually had three loops to it, so which seems to be the because Atlanta had two loops or three. It had two and a smaller one.
Yeah. Atlanta did. Yeah. And in that Orlando, didn't it have kind of like part of it, was a shorter loop and then it had a
types. Yeah. Yeah. It had like an 8-mile that they did like three times and then another distance that was two times.
So now I personally hate loop races to my core. I can't stand them. But just in your opinion, and just talking to, you know, other elite athletes going from, because I mean, how many loop marathons are there that we run? I don't think there's any except for maybe the trials. There might be some other ones out there, I don't know. But how is it going from a point-to-point marathon or an out-and-back marathon just doing these loops in the trial? Does that change anything for you, or is a pavement the pavement? It don't matter where it is.
I wouldn't say, like, it doesn't really change too much. Because really, at that point, it's like you really – at least for me, I can't speak on other marathoners. It's really, I'm thinking about like the points in the race, not necessarily like how everything is set up. I'm like, hey, am I feeling how I should feel at this point? Am I doing what I need to do? Did I get all my nutrition in? All that kind of stuff. Who am I? Who's around me? What moves do I need to make? And so, you know, whether it's, you know, five loops or like a point to point, that stuff isn't really going to change. And so, yeah, at least for me, I don't think about like the course too much. Maybe if it's like something like I'm dreading, like there's a massive hill or something like that, and I'm kind of getting like tired. How am I going to get up this hill? But
yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. I was trying not to throw any shade or anything. But
you can't. Hey.
You can throw shade because we know what it is.
That's really why I was asked, because I was like, because in Atlanta, it was like you had to hit that hill again and again. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe these guys are doing this. Because the area where you guys ran is where Indy and I used to train all the time. Like, that was downtown Atlanta. It's kind of like where we did all our training. And we were like, wow, they're going to have to.
We were over it, too. We were trying to find ways to get around stuff, but exactly. That don't work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yes. Nathan, man, great. I love the way you explained it. I love, you know, that you told us about your experience there in Orlando. We don't mind that you liked Orlando better than Atlanta. It's fine. It's okay. Orlando's a tourist spot. We understand. It's sunny. You know, it's no wind. You know, because I know, of course, I don't know if you rewatched the Peacock version of the, you know, trials or anything just to see it.
Yeah,
but
did you rewatch it?
I did. I watched a little bit of it. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Well, I had some TV time, so sure, yeah. I guess
you
I'll
did.
Watch it.
But the announcers kept talking about Atlanta. Like, in Atlanta, it was so windy. In Atlanta, it was so hilly. I was like, are they really going in Atlanta on this broadcast? Atlanta will never get that trials again. Yeah, they were hating, but that's all right. We used to it. So we got 4 years, Nathan. 4 years. What's up, man? Are you already like, okay, this time, or not, maybe not that far ahead, but are you already wherever it is, I'm going to be there? Is that kind of your mindset right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like 100%. Like, I still see myself getting to another trials. You know, I try and take things just kind of step at a time, a day at a time, and just, hey, where are we at right now? What are our opportunities? And kind of ultimately those opportunities should lead to another trials, but, you know, whatever it produces, it kind of produces type thing. So definitely planning out race schedules right now, what's the best thing to target, all that kind of stuff. And definitely excited to kind of see how the next year goes and Gonna start going into the, hopefully the development tank and hopefully Change Fitness. And yeah, excited, I guess.
Yeah, what's on your schedule?
Yes. Do you know what's on your schedule next, or you know your next race? Have you gotten that far?
Yeah. I guess we're kind of plotting it out. So I guess you're the first people I'm officially like saying what's on the agenda. But the next race up is the 25K Championships. So
Awesome. Yes.
Cross your fingers. My coach is, again, he's a, call him like a mastermind. He's hoping we can get qualified for the World Half Marathon Championships.
Okay.
And potentially with any luck, the World Marathon Championships as well. So.
Okay. Wow. Yes. Well, that is exciting. And that means that to me, in my mind, that means that what you didn't have much, or I guess I should ask, did you have much downtime after the trials before getting back into the saddle of training, or how much time did you take off?
Yeah, I did have a little bit of downtime. So it was one of those things where we're still like early on, like right after is like, hey, what's the best thing to do? Mm-hmm. And there were definitely some talks about whether or not I'm going to run Boston, all that kind of stuff. But it was like, for me, like I had been through 3 marathons, in my previous cycles. And this would have, if I did Boston, that would have not only been 4, but it would have been my smallest cycle. So we said, hey, you know what, if we have the opportunity to go back and develop, I think that's what we need to do. So it kind of pushed the 25K, and then it pushed the, you know, potential world championships and those other events. So
got it. So it's taking a little bit of time off before fully cranking it out. Well, that's good, before going right into another race.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Well, so it's definitely been a process for sure. You know, I was crazy fit coming off of just finishing the Flagstaff training. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is crazy what I'm doing. So, you know, when you get back into training, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to just get right back into it. I'm going to be firing in all cylinders. And then a couple weeks in, you're like, man, things are not quite turning the way I want.
Not quite turning over.
Not like they want.
Yes, you got some time. Yes, Nathan, before you go, I want to do a quick prediction. Can you do a prediction for me of what you think Kipchoge's going to run this weekend in Tokyo? Give me a time prediction of what you think Kipchoge's going to run this weekend in Tokyo.
Well, he is crazy talented. So
yes.
A prediction. So if he is firing on all cylinders, I would say 101.50.
201.50. Okay, for the marathon. Okay. Okay.
Oh, snap.
201.50. Okay.
Wow.
That's okay. No, it's okay.
201.50. I'm like, oh, snap, dude. 201.50.
So 201.50. Okay. Okay. I can see that. Okay. I can see that. I can see 201.50. I totally can see 201, especially in Tokyo because it's flat. So I can see that. Okay. Awesome. Do you have any inspiration to run internationally?
Yeah, so that's potentially on the docket to do an international marathon. We'll see if it kind of manifests. It just depends on what opportunities there are kind of in the fall. Obviously I've been doing New York a lot, so it's whether or not we go back there, or if
something
we kind of target a like a kind of a flat fast marathon. So yeah, we'll just see.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. All right. Well, thank you so very much for coming on. Tommy, you have anything else you want to know?
No, I just want to thank him again. Like, hey, thanks for taking time out of your training, you know, to speak with us. This is the kind of insight that I, you know, we don't get every day as, you know, amateurs. You know, we're just out there plodding around. We love to hear what the elites and the pros are doing, and how they feel in the races. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, that's one of the reasons that running is so popular, is because you're doing it at a faster time, but I think we all get those same feelings. We all have that same thing in our head of what's going on during this certain time of a marathon. And I love how you said, okay, we racing now, you know, because me and Indy and I talk about it all the time. There's running and then there's racing. And, you know, there's a point when you're racing, even if you're not racing for the be first, you're racing at that point in that marathon. And I think that's what's great. And I think that's what people love to hear about.
Whatever racing means to you. Yeah.
100%.
And I'll just say, continue doing what you're doing, Nathan. You are amazing. I would definitely tell you, I don't know if you feel it, but you are definitely inspiring people to continue to do it. I know we have some fast jokers here in Atlanta that definitely look up to you. And they're like, you know, you are definitely on their radar looking at, not on the radar to try to catch, because they ain't that fast, but on the radar by way of like an inspiration, a person that I know that I can continue to grind away and do what Nathan is doing, and continue to be great in this sport. So yes, you are definitely inspiring people.
Thank you for that. And that's ultimately what I try and do, and which is probably why I enjoy coaching so much, and just enjoy just doing my best just to give back in general. You know, obviously I have a thing or two to say about running. So that's one of my biggest areas I can kind of give back, but just connecting with people and doing what I can to kind of help them out is what I enjoy doing. And hopefully whatever I do in the future, whether it's, you know, the next 4 years of running or even longer, or, you know, some kind of pivot in a few years or something, I just hope I'm still ultimately doing that. So
That's good. And I'm sure you will be. And thank you for continuing to get back to the community and to the sport.
I'm going to wait for the book. I'll wait for your training book. So, you know.
Tommy put it out there.
If I could sell one, I definitely would, for sure.
Yes, exactly. All right,
that's
man.
What you
well,
need to do next.
Thank you so much, Nathan. It was great talking with you again. You have a good one.
Yep, you guys too.